Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another. Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please call in at 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. At this time, I would like to say a prayer, and then I would like to welcome in the Holy Spirit. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
Welcome here. Loving God, give me a humble, teachable spirit that I may continue be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time again, you are listening to Pray One for Another Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in basic theology. You would like to join us, you can dial in 319-527-6204. You can also call in your prayer requests at that same number. Our motto comes from James chapter 5 verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. To God be the glory. At this time I will play another selection.
You don't know. Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place.
My hallelujah belongs to you, oh Lord. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you, oh Lord. My hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. My hallelujah.
Sing it, y'all. Come on, y'all gotta come on, say, my hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice.
My hallelujah.
Lord,
my hallelujah.
Yeah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Didn't we simply say, you deserve. Real simple, say it, church. From the bottom of your heart, tell the Lord. You deserve it, Lord, yeah.
You deserve it.
All of the glory, yeah.
All of the glory, Lord.
Everything I give you, Lord. Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you.
All of the glory, Lord.
Y'all got it now, come on, say it. All of the glory, Lord.
Glory belongs
lift our hands together one time? My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and come to the table.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
El Shaddai, Almighty God. In Genesis 17:1-2, in the NIV, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. El Shaddai, you are great and mighty in power. Your understanding and wisdom knows no limits. Your might knows no bounds. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so your ways reach higher than my own. You surround me with the blessings of your provision as you covenant with me through your Son, Jesus Christ. The balancing of the clouds and the wondrous works of the earth are nothing compared to you, who sit enthroned in might and valor. Amen, amen, and amen. And again, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. At this time, I will play another selection.
That he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize
time to stay, to get down on his knees and pray, to simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see, he looks like you. Jesus looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some would ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you.
Shaddai, Almighty God, look upon us with a caring heart and witness the many struggles we face. Have compassion, for you see us seeking to follow you and often failing to do it. Forgive us when we are unfaithful to you, for you have asked us to walk before you faithfully. Forgive us when blame is due us, for you have asked us to be blameless. Let Christ's blood cover us in your covenant as we seek your blessing. El Shaddai. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay, it is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Your Intercessor. And the scripture for this message is coming from Romans 8:26, and it says, the Spirit himself intercedes for us, amen. When you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit does so for you. According to God's will, He intercedes for you in full agreement with the very purposes for which the Lord created you. According to Isaiah 11:2, He is the Spirit of the Lord, which means that everything He does will be consistent with God's plans and character. He is the Spirit of wisdom. He helps you to live out what is right in the Father's sight and conforms you to the image of Christ. Amen. He is the Spirit of understanding. He gives you supernatural discernment into your circumstances. He is the Spirit of counsel. He advises you, showing you what to do in every situation and bringing to remembrance everything Christ taught you, John 14:26. He is the Spirit of strength, which means He enables, empowers, and equips you to do God's will. He is the Spirit of knowledge. He provides the inventiveness and resourcefulness for the task He directs you to accomplish. Amen. And He is the Spirit of fear, of the fear of the Lord. He teaches you how to honor, respect, and obey the Father. So when you're praying, be confident that you have exactly what you need to interact with God. The Holy Spirit who communicates to you and for you. Amen? Praise God. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for teaching us how to pray and for interceding for us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that is our daily devotion for this evening. Now at this time, I will play another selection.
Withholding nothing. Come on, you say.
I surrender all.
because he is worthy to be praised.
Let's worship.
Yes.
Let's pray.
Come on. Lord. Sing along. Oh.
Honor and glorify his name.
Oh, oh yeah.
Let's worship.
Yes.
Oh. And pray.
Everybody
Lord.
Praise the Lord.
For the promises you gave to Abraham. Thank you for communing with him and establishing the Abrahamic covenant, through which you have truly blessed all the nations on the earth. Thank you for your faithful love, which you promised to Abraham on that day and have also promised to us through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen.
So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know.
You thought I was worth saving.
Thought I was the devil.
got to say. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You gonna break out your craft. Break out your word. You gonna break out the praise. Last time. When somebody clap your hands, it's a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got, that's all you got.
Shaddai, Almighty God, show us how to honor you with our faith, just as Abraham did throughout his life. We want to be a person of great faith and to experience you as El Shaddai in our life. At times, Abraham did not exhibit the faith that he displayed in his latter years. And in so doing, he delayed your covenant with him. Help us to not cause delays in our destiny, but rather to walk upright in faith, starting even from today, strengthening the muscles of our heart and our soul so we are willing to risk everything for you. Help us to demonstrate our dedication and commitment to you, our King, and to your kingdom agenda on earth. Amen, amen, and amen. And as we are coming to a closing of this part of our program for this evening at 7 o'clock, we are going into our Bible study with our very own Barbara Amore. And the title of the Bible study is Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please dial in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. said nothing will happen to me today that me and the Lord can't help. Yay! Praise be to God. And now it is time for our lesson with our very own Barbara A. Amore, who's going to kind of conduct our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm blessed, thank you. Feel a little bloated, but I'm blessed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's your phone?
Scam.
Okay. All right. It's just us right now?
Yes. I don't know if ladies coming or not. But they should be finished with their program, well, with their
thing.
Yeah,
the training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, I will open in prayer.
Amen.
Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more and again, mm-hmm. a few of your humble servants come to say thank you.
Thank
Lord
you.
Lord God, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day we've never seen before. Father God, we thank you for everything, the sunshine and the rain, the wind, everything, Lord God. We thank you. We know we would have none of it were it not for you, and we are blessed and so eternally grateful for all that you are, all that you do for us, and all that you will ever be. So, God, I ask that you bless everyone that's on this line, those that are coming on, those that have thought about us and maybe can't come on for whatever reason, them, cover them, love on them, Father God.
Yes.
Wherever they're sick, heal them, Lord God. Wherever they're afflicted, please heal them. Wherever they're bereaved, give them comfort and strength at this time right now, Lord God. Homeless and helpless, please help right now, God. Just continue to be the God of all people, the God, the great God that you are. Lord, we love you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So thank you for being who you are, Lord God. Thank you for your son, Jesus. And Lord God, we just bless you. We adore you. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. And just thank you for everything. For all these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your son, Jesus, our soon coming King. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. So we're going to continue with our lesson on sin. And we're on page 242.
Yes.
And topic again is the biblical concept of sin. So we stopped at section F, adikia.
Yes. Okay.
This refers to any unrighteous conduct in the broadest sense. It is used of unsaved people, Romans 1 and 18, of money, Luke 16 and 9, of parts of the human body, Romans 6:13 and James 3:6, and of actions, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10. And I took the liberty of looking up Adikia,
uh-huh.
and she was a mythological goddess of crime. So that's an interesting point. Adikia was known as a goddess of crime. So let's take a look at crime, wrongdoing.
the goddess of crime.
So let's take a look at Romans 1 and 18.
Okay. Okay, this one is God's anger at sin. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And mine reads, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It goes from 18 through 23. And it's under the heading of ignoring God leads to a downward spiral.
Mm.
But God's angry displeasure erupts as acts of human mistrust and wrongdoing and lying accumulate as people try to put a shroud over truth. Amen. So it's angry displeasure comes forth when humans mistrust, and wrongdoing and lying starts building up as people try to cover the truth. And I just read a little bit more, but the basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes, and there it is.
Mm-hmm.
By taking a long and thoughtful look at what God has created, people have always been able to see what their eyes as such can't see. Eternal power, for instance, and the mystery of his divine being.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, any thoughts about that? I see you didn't get your battery yet.
Yes, I did. Oh, let me shut off the air conditioner. Maybe it's the air conditioner.
Huh?
It may be it's the air conditioner you hear, so let me shut it off.
Something is still ticking. I don't want you to be uncomfortable, but...
Oh, no, I'm not uncomfortable. I don't like it.
Okay, thank you.
How about now? You still hear it now?
Yes, that's much better. Much better.
Yeah, that's the
thank
air conditioner.
You.
I just put it on to cool the house down and then shut it down because I don't like air conditioning. Yeah.
I thank you. So, any thoughts about Romans 1 and 18?
Well, it's like, you know, sometimes we make up a lot of excuses not to follow God or to read the Bible and stuff. We always have excuses like, oh, I don't have time, or when I get time, I will. You know, it's just excuse after excuse.
Mm-hmm. So what about that?
Huh?
So what about that?
Well, I mean, like, the longer we put it off, the longer, you know, the worse things get. They get to the point where, you know, you become like the unbelievers. You don't believe in God at all because you don't know anything about him because you don't read his word. So how would you know about him if you don't read his word?
That's true. And we can't just be a Sunday Christian where we open our dusty Bibles only on Sunday or whenever we observe our Sabbath. Amen.
Right.
So
Amen.
It's not just a one day a week event.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be reading our Bibles daily, really. You know, it doesn't have to be a long, drawn out something.
No.
But you need to stay in the Word. You need to stay in the Word. It encourages you. And encouraging yourself, you can encourage someone else. Somebody else may be going through, and they need to hear a word. They may not have read it, but you can point out the scripture to them that will, you know, encourage their hearts, make them feel better, you know, and just lift them up. Amen. Not to mention lifting up Jesus. So let's go on to talk about of money in Luke 16 and 9.
Okay, go back to Luke 16:12. 16:9 says,
yes.
And this is Jesus speaking. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. Amen. So he's saying
that. Was 16:9?
Yes. Luke 16:9.
Okay.
You want me to read it again?
No, I heard it. I just didn't, it doesn't coincide with what I'm looking at.
Okay.
Well,
you know, I'm reading from the living.
You can explain what you just read. That's fine.
Well, in other words, we're supposed to use our finances wisely to help other people. And then, you know, if once your finances run out down here, but you still have, you know, you'll be richly blessed in heaven. That's what I get out of
it. Say that again.
If we use our finances and money, you know, our talents and stuff wisely by down here helping other people. So when we become like, when it's all finished and we have no more, you know, finances or money or anything to help a person, but at least, you know, you will have your riches in heaven because you used everything that you had to help others.
Okay, so are you saying we're supposed to use up our money to help others?
But not all of it, but only for those who are in need. That's
well, I'm saying to the point that we don't have anything left.
Well, yeah, sometimes when you help this one and that one, and then the next thing you know, all your finances is gone.
So how's that going to help you? You can't bless anybody else, including yourself.
No, but God always make a way.
Okay.
So if you run out, God will find a way. God always find a way to replenish you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's look at Romans 6:13. Back to Romans.
Luke 16:9, a part of the human body. Romans 6:13, you said?
Yes.
Okay. 10:9-7:6. Okay, 6:13 says 12:13. At day, this is Jesus chooses the 12 disciples. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. Here are their names. Amen. It's just 13.
I'm not seeing the same thing that you're reading.
I'm reading
that's
Luke.
Romans. No, we're reading Romans.
Oh, Romans 6, my bad. Sorry. I thought
Romans
I was
6:13.
Okay, sorry about that.
It's
you know,
okay.
My glasses, they get all foggy up, and then they, I can't see if what I'm looking for. Come on, Romans 6:13 says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. And so what does that mean to you?
Let's see. Sin is, do not let any part of your body become an instrument. So in other words, don't use your body parts for sinful things, but constantly stay in God's word. That's what it means to me.
Okay.
Stay in God's word.
Or into God's way of doing things.
Right.
In the way of doing things of God. And mind me, that means you must not give, in my size, at 12 to 14.
Mm-hmm.
That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life.
Yes.
Throw yourself wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After you're not living under that old tyranny any longer.
Mm-hmm.
You're living in the freedom of God.
Yes.
So we're not going to continue in sin. We're going to live God's way, full time, not part time, not sometimes, but all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Amen.
When death becomes life.
Mm-hmm.
When death becomes life. And now we're going to take a look at James 3 and 6.
James 3 and 6. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself.
Ooh,
tongue is a terrible, dangerous thing.
Amen.
Yes, because what comes out of your mouth, you cannot take it back.
Amen.
Pray on it, but you can't take it back.
Mine comes from 3, 5 through 6, and it reads, it only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is words from our mouth. We can do those kinds of things.
Yes.
We can ruin reputations. We can ruin the world. We can turn harmony into chaos and throw mud. It's by your tongue, what you say out of your mouth.
Yes.
And it could send the whole world up into smoke.
Excuse me.
And you go up in smoke with it. Okay? Right from the pit of hell. Amen. And then we're going to look at end of actions, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10.
Colossians, Thessalonians. Second, last time I remember I read from the first one instead of the second one.
It's okay. It happens.
Okay, 2 Thessalonians, verse 8. 7, 8. 8 says,
it's 10.
10?
2 and 10.
Oh, 2 and 10. Okay, 10, 9, 10. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. Amen. Mm. Yep, if you don't accept what the truth about God, then you're on your way to destruction.
Amen.
Yeah, you got to believe, and you got to do the will of God. Read his word, because everything that we need, everything that we want to know is in this book.
We have to live and apply the word.
Yes.
You can read it all day long, but if you're not doing what the word then, I mean, yeah, that's nice. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody even knows that you're reading the word because you're not living it.
Exactly.
So you have to put it on exhibit. It has to be seen.
Right.
Okay? And mine starts at 9 and goes to 12, and it says, the Antichrist coming is all Satan's work. All his power and signs and miracles are fake, evil sleight of hand that plays to the gallery of those who hate the truth that could save them. And since they're so obsessed with evil, God rubs their noses in it, gives them what they want. Since they refuse to trust truth, they're banished to their chosen world of lies and illusions. They fail to trust the truth. And
that's
so
right.
They're cast out into their own chosen world of lies and fictitious things, fantasies, illusions, things that are not right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Satan's work. This is Satan's work. And we know that Satan is what?
He's the father of lies.
Right, and he's a spirit.
Yep.
Satan is a spirit. He can't be every place at the same time like God can.
Oh, no.
Amen. So
Amen.
He's a spirit. God is a spirit also.
Mm-hmm.
But they're different. They're different.
Yes.
They're different. Amen. So,
Amen.
Again, Attikia is talking about the goddess of crime. And we can see in much of what we read that those things are like criminals. Amen?
Amen.
Those things that we read about from Scripture, some of those are like criminals, unsaved people, of money, parts of the human body, and of actions.
Yes.
So let's go to part G. Anomus. Often translated iniquity. The word means lawless. It concerns breaking the law in the broadest sense. Matthew 13:41, 24:12, 1 Timothy 1:9. Eschatologically, it refers to the Antichrist, the lawless one. And we just saw that in 2 Thessalonians 2:8. We just read that. So we're not going to have to reread that because we just read it.
Yes.
Well, I read it, but still. We got that one. Okay.
Yeah, we got
so we're going to look at Matthew 13:41.
Okay, Matthew. Matthew's mom. Oops, go back. Went too far. Matthew's 13:41. 41 says, the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Wow, let me read that again. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. So that means he's going to remove all the wicked people from his kingdom?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay, and I'm going to read 40. I'm trying not to read it, 40 through 43.
Okay.
It says, the picture of thistles pulled up and burned is a scene from the final act. The Son of Man will send his angels, weed out the thistles from his kingdom, pitch mm-hmm. them in the trash, and be done with them. They're going to complain to high heaven, but nobody's going to listen. At the same time, ripe, holy lives will mature and adorn the kingdom of their Father. Are you listening to this? Really listening? Amen.
Amen.
So when the Son of God comes, mm-hmm. he's going to cast out the angels anyway. He's going
yes.
to send his angels to weed out the thistles, the wicked ones, from his kingdom.
That's
pitch
right.
them in the trap.
Yes.
And done
yes.
with them. Mm-hmm. And they're going to complain, but nobody's going to listen. Amen. It's too late.
Exactly. Don't wait till it's too late to complain. Do it while you're still able and still
do it while you can get it right before, before that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're looking at 24 and 12, Matthew 24 and 12.
Okay. 9 and 12. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold.
Hmm.
Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold.
Wow. And mine goes from 11 to 12, Matthew 24. In the confusion, lying preachers will come forward and deceive a lot of people.
Yes.
For many others, the overwhelming spread of evil will do them in. Nothing left of their love but a mound of ashes. We're talking about those lying preachers that come to deceive a lot of people.
That's
true. I wonder why do we have lying preachers? What's that about?
Those are Satan people who don't do nothing but go around tell lies about everything.
But they're preachers. They're preachers. They ought to be telling, the word of God, talking about the word of God.
Oh, you got a lot of, I don't know how many of them is out there, but some of them, they're just in the church for just for the money, not even to tell the truth to the people about the coming of Christ.
Well, that doesn't mean they got to lie because they're in the church for money. I mean, they're going to get the money.
They're just born liars. I don't know. I have no idea why people lie. Some people lie to get themselves out of trouble. Some people lie just to be lying.
Well, these preachers are lying to deceive.
Right.
And a lot of times they are deceived themselves. In other words, they don't know the truth. They don't even know the truth. And they're preaching a fallacy. They're preaching the wrong thing.
Yes.
Amen. That's why it's so important, especially as a preacher, that you know what you're speaking of. You have to study. Amen.
Yep.
It's not easy. It's not. If it were, then, we'd have more preachers than we have. But you have to study because you don't want to put the wrong thing out there and lead people astray. And lead yourself astray. Amen.
Exactly. Amen.
Going in the wrong direction. So you have to study so you know what you're talking about, what you're preaching about. 1 Timothy 1:9.
Where's Timothy? 9. Where's 9? 8:9. For the law was not intended for people who do what is right. It is for people who are lawless and rebellious, who are ungodly and sinful, who consider nothing sacred and defile what is holy, who kill their father or mother or commit other murders. Wow, what a horrible way.
Wow.
No, that is terrible.
And this is my topic is self-appointed experts on life. Self-appointed is the key. Mine starts at 8 through 11, and it says, it reads, it's true that moral guidance and counsel need to be given, but the way you say it and to whom you say it are as important as what you say. Mm-hmm. It's obvious, isn't it, that the law code isn't primarily for people who live responsibly, but for the irresponsible who defy all authority, riding roughshod over God, life, sex, truth, whatever. They are contemptuous of this great message I've been put in charge of by this great God. So they hold this message of Paul in contempt.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
They don't believe it. They think it's a lot of nonsense. You know?
But they say
it's not. It's true. Basically, it's true. And again, we're going to go to eschatologically, it refers to the Antichrist, the lawless one, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8, which again, we read that already, so we're going to go down to part 8.
Mm-hmm.
Parables, meaning transgression. This word usually relates to specific violations of law. We see it in Romans and Galatians. So Romans 2 and 23.
Okay.
Doing a lot of Romans today.
Yeah.
Romans 2 and 23.
Romans. Corinthians. Romans 2. 10. 8. 3. 2. Here we go. Romans 2:23 says, you are so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. Wow. Okay, so what's the sense of being proud of the law and you still turn around and break it?
All right, and there's that thing called pride, too. You're not supposed to be prideful.
Yes. Thank
Amen.
You. Amen.
So mine goes from 17 to 24. I'm not going to read all of that. I'm just going to jump in somewhere. It says, while preaching, don't steal. Are you going to rob people blind? Who would suspect you? The same with adultery. The same with idolatry. You can get by with almost anything if you front it with eloquent talk about God and his law.
Mm-hmm.
The line from Scripture, it's because of you Jews that the outsiders are down on God, shows it's an old problem that isn't going to go away. So, again, we're talking about that religion, about those preachers that are saying anything, but they're doing contrary to what they're preaching.
They're
robbing people blind. They're doing adultery. They're worshiping idols, okay, and all of this stuff they can get by with. Nobody knows. They know.
They know.
What's done in the dark will come to the light.
Amen. Amen.
Romans 5 and 14.
Okay, 5, 14, 13, 14. Still, this is Adam and Christ contrast. Still, everyone die from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ, who was yet to come. Amen.
Okay.
So he was, in other words, he was like the first Christ. I mean, he was like Christ, but he sinned, and Christ didn't. Right.
Right. And because of his sin, we are subject to die.
Yes.
Right?
That's it. He brought death.
It's because of Jesus, Jesus was considered the second Adam. And
right.
because of his life and
mm-hmm.
his death on the and his blood,
mm-hmm.
we are subject to eternal life if we believe.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So death, this huge abyss separating us from God, dominated the landscape from Adam to Moses. Even those who didn't sin precisely as Adam did by disobeying a specific command of God still had to experience this termination of life. Even those who didn't, Adam did by disobeying a specific command of God still had to experience this termination of life, this separation from God. But Adam, who got us into this, also
yes.
points ahead to the one who will get us out of it. So like
Amen.
You said, he was like considered the first Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because we weren't supposed to die. We were supposed to have life eternal until
mm-hmm.
Eve led him into sinning. She's the one who transgressed.
Yes.
Amen. But he's the one that got the command not to eat. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's look at Galatians 3:19.
Okay, the law and God's promise. 19 says, why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. What do you think about that?
Because, you know, the law we had, because the people were just so corrupted and they had to have some kind of law to live by.
Mm-hmm.
So God gave them the law, but even with the law, they still couldn't live by it. So that's why he had to send Christ to intercede on our behalf.
Okay. So the law was given for man to live by
mm-hmm.
and also to point out what they were doing wrong. Some
right.
of them didn't realize that to do...
That they were sinning?
Some of them didn't realize that what they were doing was a sin, that it was a transgression against God. You
right.
know, to covet this and want, you know, what your neighbor has and all those kinds of, they didn't realize that was a sin. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So the law came to give them a standard
mm-hmm.
to point out that if you do this, that's a transgression against God. That's not
mm-hmm.
what you need to be doing. Amen.
Exactly.
So it came to, the law came to point out what they were doing wrong so that they can get it right. But again,
thank
it was
God.
So many laws. It was so many commandments
mm-hmm.
that man wasn't able to abide by all of them. He wasn't.
They sure weren't.
But God knew this when he gave it to Moses.
Yes.
He knew it. But
yes.
it was still given, again, for them to know what the standard is. So
right.
that you'll know that you're transgressing, even though you may not be able to not transgress. You know what it is when you've done wrong. That's what it shows.
Yes, yes.
Right, brought it to their attention that this is not right, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to read 18 to 20, and it says, what is the point then of the law? The attached addendum?
Mm-hmm.
It has a thoughtful addition to the original covenant promises made to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of the law was to keep sinful people in the way of salvation until Christ, the descendant, came. Inheriting the promises and distributing to them.
Yes.
Distributing them to us.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this law was not a first-hand encounter with God.
Yeah.
It was arranged by angelic messengers through a middleman. And who was that middleman?
Jesus.
Moses.
Oh,
the
Moses.
Lord was given to Moses.
Given to Moses,
amen.
Yes. Amen.
But if there is a middleman, as there was at Sinai, then the people are not dealing directly with God, are they? But
no.
The original promise is the direct blessing of God received by faith. So
right.
Moses was given the Ten Commandments through God, and he was the middleman from God to Moses to the people, all right?
Yes.
And that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough because they couldn't live by that.
Enough.
They could not. They could not keep the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And again, if you break one, you broke all, you know?
Absolutely. Even up to today. We break one.
That didn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that didn't change.
Nothing.
That did not change. And
amen.
So the next one is Hebrews 9 and 15.
Okay, Hebrews 7. 9, 15. This is Christ is the perfect sacrifice. That is why he is the one who meditates, who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God had promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of sins they had committed under that first covenant. Amen.
And what was the first covenant?
The first covenant was the law.
Right, the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
The first covenant. So like a will that takes effect when someone dies, the new covenant was put into action at Jesus' death. His death marked the transition from the old plan to the new one, canceling the old obligations and accompanying sins, and summoning the heirs to receive the eternal inheritance that was promised them. He brought together God and his people in this new way. So because of God sending his son Jesus, God established the new covenant.
Yes.
Amen. And that covenant is, what do we call the new covenant?
The new covenant is the blood of Christ.
The blood of Christ and grace.
Grace.
We're under grace. We're not under the law. We're under grace.
It's grace.
Amen. The grace.
That's right.
The grace of the Lord. We're under grace. We're not under the law anymore.
You're
we're
right.
Under grace. Hallelujah.
Praise be to God.
Yes, yes. And so what's the other one? Okay, that finished parabates, meaning transgression, transgression of the law, specific violations of the law. And now we're going to look at section I, agnoin. This may refer to the ignorant worship of other than the true God. And we see that in Acts and Romans. But such ignorance makes one guilty and in need of atonement. So let's look at Acts 17 and 23.
Okay.
Almost finished.
Because my feet are tight. Come on, John.
Your feet?
My feet.
Oh, your feet?
You know, when,
oh.
When I sit here, for you know, every so often I stand up. But,
right.
That's still not enough. I need to like elevate the feet, and that's
right.
Acts 17. You say
17,
okay.
Right? 17 and 23.
15, 16, 17, 17 and 23, 20, 16, 19, 22, 23. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I am telling you about.
So who is this talking?
Amen.
So who is he talking about? Who was Paul talking about?
Paul was talking. And he's talking about the unknown God is Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And it says, when I arrived here the other day, I was fascinated with all the shrines I came across. Mm-hmm. And then I found one inscribed to the God nobody knows. Mm. I'm here to introduce you to this God so you can worship intelligently. Know who you're dealing with. Okay, and it goes on. I just want to say, the God who made this world and everything in it, this master of day, this master of sky and land doesn't live in custom-made shrines or need the human race to run errands for him as if he couldn't take care of himself. He makes the creatures. The creatures don't make him.
That's right.
So I'll leave it at that point. That went into 24.
Okay.
So Paul had to tell them about this God that they had a shrine to, talking about the unknown God that nobody knows. Why do you think they would say something like that? Why would the shrine say something like that?
Let's see. Maybe because they knew that even though they didn't see the unknown God, but they could feel him. You know, because God is a spirit, and they could feel it in their spirit when they're worshiping God.
And they had heard about him.
Right.
Okay, this God that nobody has ever seen before. The shrine was built. That's a good thing, though. They had built the shrine to the God that nobody really knows. But again, they knew of him.
Yes.
But they didn't have him as an idol like some of the other gods they were worshiping.
Exactly.
So this is a better God that they had a shrine to. But he was letting them know that he was the creator, this unknown God that you speak of. He's the creator. He made everything. Amen?
That's right. Yep. Those right. statues and them, they made nothing. Not one
thing.
Exactly.
And they can't do anything.
Nope.
They do. They
look at them and worship them.
Amen. Amen. And be wrong.
Yeah.
And be wrong for doing that. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's look at Romans 2:4. We'll stop at this last paragraph.
Okay.
Romans 2:4.
2:4 says, "Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can you see that this kindness is intended to turn you from your sins?" This is God's judgment of sin.
And what is that last thing you read? This kindness is what?
It says, let me read it again. Don't you see how wonderful, kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that this kindness is intended to turn you from your sins?
Wow.
Amen. To turn you away from his kindness.
We serve a kind and loving God.
Yes, he
Amen.
Is.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God. And I just want to read mine. Thank you for that.
Yes.
God, 3:3-4. And it's under the heading, God is kind, but not soft. You didn't think, did you, that just by pointing your finger at others, you would distract God from sending, from seeing all your misdoings and from coming down on you hard? Or did you think that because he's such a nice God, he let you off the hook? Better think this one through from the beginning. God is kind, but he's not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. So
Amen.
In his kindness, he mm-hmm. leads us and guides us into a radical
yes.
life change. God is able.
Yes, he
is. God is able to do all of that.
That's why I love that song. My God is able.
My Lord, yes, yes. And the last thing we're going to look at is, but since ignorance makes us guilty and in need of atonement, Hebrews 9 and 7, the last one we're going to read tonight.
Okay. Hebrews 9, 7, okay. This is old rules about worship. But only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and only once a year, and he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins the people have committed in ignorance. So first he had to offer up the blood for his own sins.
Yes.
And then he offered the blood for the sins of the people.
Exactly. And if he was wrong,
mm-hmm.
he had sinned, what happens with him?
He gets demoted, right?
He gets killed. Yeah, demoted. He gets killed. And they had to enter the Holy of Holies with a rope tied, I believe, around their waist. All
yeah.
right? So as they're sprinkling the blood and such, if they were not sinless themselves,
mm-hmm.
they could die. The priest
yeah.
could die. And
mm-hmm.
when they didn't hear that bell tinkling anymore, that means
yeah.
he had fallen out dead. And so they, not with that rope, they could drag, because they couldn't enter the Holy of Holies. Only the priest could do that.
Right.
Right. So when uh-huh. they didn't hear that bell any longer, they would drag him out if he were not free of sin. And so
wow.
that was Hebrews 9 and 7. Let me see.
Yes.
Well, mine says,
yours.
Mine starts at, I'm sorry, but it starts at 6 through 10. And it says, after this was set up, the priests went about their duties in large tents. Only
mm-hmm.
the high priest entered the smaller inside tent, and then only once a year, offering a blood sacrifice for his own sins and the people's accumulated sins. This was the Holy Spirit's way of showing with a visible parable that as long as the large tent stands, people
mm-hmm.
can't just walk in on God. Under this system, the gifts and sacrifices can't really get to the heart of the matter, can't assuage the conscience of the people, can't change the conscience of the people, but
mm-hmm.
are limited to matters of ritual and behavior. It's
wow.
essentially a temporary arrangement until a complete overhaul could be made. Amen. This is a visible parable. So again,
yeah.
those priests were going into the Holy of Holies, and only they could do that, and they did that once a year. And
mm-hmm.
if they weren't free of sin, they would die. They're trying to make a sin offering on behalf of the people and themselves. And sometimes they had to, like I said, drag them out by that belt,
the belt, that long string
that was tied around their waist just
yes.
for that purpose.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And he might have
Amen.
Thought he was without sin. He might have thought that he was free, you know?
Yeah.
That's why he did it. He thought he was okay. But, you know, the Lord sees everything, and sometimes they weren't quite as clean as they thought they were. So we're going to end it right here.
Okay.
Thank you for sticking around, because I know you're not in the best of feeling like, and it's 8 o'clock anyway, 7:59.
Oh, yeah. We're right on time.
So our mission, yes, was accomplished. We're going to end it right here. We're stopping at Section J, Planeo. And again,
okay.
I thank you for your endurance. because I fully understand.
Thank you for a wonderful lesson. I mean, it was excellent and very, very clear. I love the way that you explained it, you know, in your
Bible,
because sometimes, you know, you, when you read it in one Bible, you got to read it in different Bibles to understand what it's really saying, you know?
Exactly.
In layman terms, so for the people who, like myself, would understand theology, you know?
Uh-huh, like us. So God is so good. He's so awesome. Would you take us out in prayer?
Precious and Heavenly Father, thank you for all that was said tonight. Thank you for all that was done.
Mm.
Thank you for our teacher. Thank you for everything that you're doing and everything that you're going to do. We thank you for life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. We ask that you bless each and every one here tonight under the sound of our voices. Guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Let your will be done in our lives each day. Continue to encourage us and empower us and strengthen us and guide us to where you want us to go. We ask and forgive us for our sins, knowing and unknowing. We thank you, Lord God, for our families, friends, neighbors, and even our enemies, Lord God. We ask that you take your wings and wrap them around the families that was killed in the boat accident this evening, and all of those who have lost a loved one, Lord God, comfort them in a mighty special way. Guide them in a way that you would have them to go, and let them know,
Lord God,
that they will see their loved ones one day soon again, but not too soon, Lord God. Let us continue to worship you, God, and to love on you and to teach others about you. And we ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Thank you for that beautiful prayer on our behalf. Stay safe. Feel better.
You too. Is it raining?
Goes down and what happened?
Is it raining by you?
I don't hear it.
Oh,
I don't think
so. I can't
see
where I'm situated. I can't see nothing. All I know is that dog. That was it.
Yeah, it is a little darker, and they said 8:26 or so is supposed to be sunsetting, but I don't think it's raining right now.
Oh, okay.
They expecting some kind of storm, but we may not get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, like all of those storms and what they call them, the ice that falls, and we don't get all of that.
It's only in the suburbs,
and, you know, Jersey and upstate New York, they get all of that stuff.
Yeah, further out west, but God,
yeah,
we
may get the tail end like a little bit of rain, and then the humidity goes up higher.
Right. I think they said rain this evening.
Yeah, well, I have no intention of going outside, so it's okay.
Yeah, it still might come, but all that's good, too. So anyway, I'm going to say good night for now. I'm going to try to join you all tomorrow, God willing.
Okay.
All right. Same here. Did you read your John yet?
No, I'm going to do that in the morning. Or tonight before I go to bed.
That was part of our Sunday school lesson. So
really?
I'm glad I got, of last week. So I got to read it, you know, in my Sunday school lesson also. But I had read it after my class.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm not going to hold you. Go rest your feet. Put your legs up.
Yep.
Feel better.
Thank you so much. Hugs and kisses. Love you.
Love you too. Have a blessed night now.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.